And welcome. Thank you so much for joining us today. This is Ellen Kamai, the Natural Nurse. And we do the Natural Nurse and Dr. Z, that's myself, and Dr. Eugene Zamperone. And we also do lots of events on ground and online. For instance, today, if you're listening at the time that we're recording the show or doing it live, tonight I will be lecturing for the American Holistic Nurses Association in Broward County, Florida, and we'll be discussing leaky gut syndrome. If any of you are nurses, I also have that course available at the American Holistic Nurses Association website. And anyone can take that. Actually, anyone in the world can take it. But if you're a nurse, you get a CEU credit for taking it. And I also have an online course available, which grants 18 CEU credits for nurses, massage therapists, acupuncturists, dietitians, and midwives. So anyone can take those classes, and if you are not a professional, then you get a certificate from the Florida School of Holistic Health, which really can hang on your wall, and it's a beautiful certificate. But if you are a professional, you also get CEU credits, which is a really nice thing to have. In fact, many professionals have to have those on an ongoing basis. Also, if you go to the website, naturalnurse.com, and click on calendars, you'll see we're starting to update our spring classes. So in March, we have a trip to Jamaica where you actually go on an echo tour for cures. You go to Jamaica. You live and study with indigenous medicine men, healers from that area. And that's one thing that you can join us with. That's the 27th year that we're doing that trip, as a matter of fact. And then we also are going to have an echo tour for cures to Chinatown. And that's coming up on Sunday, April 10th. We have two of those every year. And on Sunday, April 10th, we have our first Chinatown trip for this year. And this year is 2016. Welcome to it. If you're listening to the show live or if you're listening to it as a podcast later, because all of our shows are archived as podcasts. So that's coming up April 10th. We're very excited. And that always sells out, always. It's our, I think, 28th year of offering our Chinatown trip. So if you would like to come for sort of a very exotic trip to another country, but right in Manhattan, well, sign up for our Chinatown trip. Go to naturalnurse.com, go to calendar, and you'll see it listed there under April 10th, and there's information about how to sign up. So thank you so much for all your feedback. We love your likes on Facebook. That's Facebook. And I go to The Natural Nurse, Ellen Kamai. There's a Facebook page there. We also have a Facebook page for our Jamaica trip, which is Facebook Echo Tours for Cures to Jamaica. So all kinds of stuff going on at naturalnurse.com. You can get links for all of those things. And also look into up-and-coming classes in how to make your own herbal medicine. Very important. And I've also begun teaching extensive classes in dowsing. Dowsing is important because it can give you a lot more control about what you should use. So if you're a sensitive person, an allergenic person, then dowsing is really a required skill to save yourself from many, many days and weeks and hours of sufferings, because you can avoid things that aren't really well suited for you. And if you're not a really sensitive person, dowsing can also be useful to prioritize what you should work on in your life first, which supplements to take, how much, which herbs to mix together, all kinds of information. And I have just been invited to be a speaker at the American Dowsing Society National Convention, which is in June. So we have lots and lots and lots of stuff going on. Check it out at naturalnurse.com. Today we are very happy to have as our guest Julia Chopik. Julia is the creator of the award-winning blog HonestMedicine.com and has been a published writer and public relations consultant for more than 20 years. When her husband, Tim, became ill back in 1990 with a cancerous brain tumor, Julia became his medical advocate and began writing on topics related to health and medicine. Her articles and columns were published in American Medical News, Advanced Search and Alternative and Complementary Therapies, and they have also been featured in the British Medical Journal and Modern Maturity, as well as the Chicago Sun-Times. Her ongoing mission is to use her writing and public relations skills to inform the world about little-known but promising treatments via her website, her presentations, and the book that we'll be reviewing today, which is called Honest Medicine, Effective, Time-Tested, Inexpensive Treatments for Threatening Diseases. Thank you so much for being on our show today, Julia.
Oh, it's my pleasure. And thank you for that lovely introduction. I appreciate it.
Well, good, so people know who you are, because you even pointed out as we set up the show, I want you to know I'm not a doctor. Because many people do call you Dr. Julia. I mean, I see that on Facebook and email, because you're always talking about health.
Yes, and you want to know something, Ellen. You bring up a good point. My dad was a doctor, and he did not like his fellow doctors, so I think I take it as a point of pride that I can keep, you know, very, very, myself very objective about the medical system. So that's why I say I'm not a doctor. I am a patient advocate, okay?
And an in-depth investigative reporter.
And you know what? Yes, and I'm starting to do more investigative things all the time. So, yes, thanks for adding that.
So let's talk about, you know, unfortunately your husband did succumb to the illness, but in, you know, the blessing about it, there's always a blessing in these things, it actually led you to an intense wake-up call.
You know, you're absolutely right about that. There are two blessings in this. One, you're right, that it led me to becoming active. But the other blessing, Ellen, was that because I finally became active, and I have to say, at the very beginning when he was diagnosed with a cancerous brain tumor the size of an orange, I froze. You know, but when I finally became active, I found he was given 18 months to 3 years to live. And I found that by becoming active, which is what I want to teach people to do, and I know you are dedicated to that too, by becoming active, I was able to extend his life by 12 years. What I mean by that is we found a nutritionist named Dr. Jean Wallace, who was wonderful with diet and supplements, you know, things that would extend his life and his quality of life. And he lived so long after that. And finally, you know, if we have time, we can get into it. He finally was totally compromised. I think he might still be alive today if he hadn't had a certain operation, you know, when his tumor recurred. But the thing that I want to point out is that while he was doing so well, you know, the doctors were not at all interested in anything we were doing.
It is so true. I mean, I'll just tell a little story because what led me down this path is I had a very severe, severe horseback riding accident, and I was actually not able to walk. I was young, and the doctors said that I would not be able to walk without surgery. That just didn't ring true to me, so that's when I investigated all kinds of natural medicines. I did those natural medicines, and at the time they weren't easy to get. There were no health food stores, there was no internet, there was no credit cards. My dad had to write checks to different people and places to get herbs and Edgar Cayce castor oil packs, but they worked. So my shock was when I went back and showed the doctor the list of things that had worked well, they were not at all interested.
No. They, you know, as a matter of fact, you know, it was really funny. The doctors, you'll love this, Ellen, of course they were thrilled, you know, that he was living so long and so well. You know, he was talking, he was reading, he was doing things, you know. And they were taking credit. They were like, well, you know, you're certainly doing well with our treatments, you know. And once he was in the doctor's office, I will never forget it, because the doctor asked him, you know, what drugs are you taking, you know, the seizure medications, et cetera. And Tim reeled them off. My husband reeled them off. And then my husband said, and doctor, I'm on a lot of supplements too. And do you know what the doctor said? Next question. Those were his words. In other words, not interested. But it became even more shocking to me when I didn't go through, and I probably should have, that after the 3-month period, my husband was getting every side effect, you know, that you could get from the treatments. I want to stress that. He got a radiation-caused stroke, for instance, and I didn't say how old he was. He was 40.
Oh, my goodness, no, I didn't know. I was thinking 70, 75.
No. We had just been married for 5 years.
Oh, okay. So this is quite a while ago.
Yes. Oh, yes. It was in 1990. And, you know, so he had had so many of the side effects. And then he had a recurrence of the tumor in 2001. And at that point, I knew he should not have the surgery because he had had very fragile skin in the past, you know, because of the radiation, the gift that keeps on giving. I call it that. Anyway, he had the surgery. The doctors convinced me that it was going to be, quote, I'm going to quote here, a piece of cake. And it wasn't. His skin would not heal. And he ended up, the doctors did 8 additional surgeries. I like to say that slowly, in a vain attempt to find 2 pieces of skin that would hold together. Meanwhile, I'm online doing all this research because I get it. This is a skin healing problem. This is no longer a tumor problem, right? And I started to do research, and finally, through a holistic doctor that I knew and still know, I found a product that is the first product I feature in my book in Honest Medicine. It was called Silverlon, a totally non-toxic, wonderful treatment for FDA approved for all non-healing wounds. It's pieces of material impregnated with silver ions, and as you and I both know, silver is a great healing product, you know. And we put it on Tim's skin, and I got permission, by the way, from the hospital to put it on his skin, because they were running out of tricks. You know, he had had 8 additional surgeries, which, by the way, had made him very brain injured, very, very compromised, which he had not been when he walked in. And the skin started healing literally overnight. And I thought, stupid me, right? They're going to be excited because this is something that happens with brain tumor patients. If they've been radiated in the past, their skin doesn't heal. So I thought, these doctors are going to be just so excited. Well, surprise, surprise, they weren't. Not only were they not excited that his skin was finally healing after 8 additional surgeries, they seemed upset with me. And finally, one doctor expressed it. He came up to me and he said, you know, we don't think it was the treatment that you found. And he had the accent on you, you know, that healed your husband's skin. And I was curious. I said, well, what do you think it was? And he said, well, we've been thinking. I realized that later, that's kind of a dangerous thing, you know. And he said, we've been thinking. We think, meaning all the doctors, that it is vancomycin. That's the IV antibiotic that Tim had been on for at least 6 weeks. And I said, but doctor, he's been on vancomycin, this is an IV, for 6 weeks at least. And the doctor said the words that turned me into a patient advocate forever. Vancomycin is like that. It kicks in. And I was stunned. You know, here is something that could help other patients. And the doctors preferred to think it was what they had administered 6 weeks earlier.
That exactly. Finally,
yeah. So that turned me in. My husband lived for another 3.5 years, very compromised. I couldn't bring him back, you know, after that, because the 8 additional surgeries had really deep-sixed him. You know, they had done their job. And they had not done anything good, but they really compromised him. And all this time I was thinking, when I finally have the time, you know, and I didn't want that time to come because I loved my husband dearly. I wanted him to keep living, obviously. I said, I have to get the word out there to other people. that there are treatments out there. And I have to find others that are good for life-threatening diseases. I was not interested, Ellen, in anything for the common cold. You know, that's going to get better by itself, right?
Well, I'll tell you this. Actually, I just want to throw this out there. In terms of natural medicine, I actually do think that that is the best place to start in
terms of
self-use and family use, not waiting until, you know, there's a situation like you, of course, investigated, which is totally life-threatening. But it's wonderful to try natural remedies for colds and flus, allergies, skin conditions, where they are always effective. And you have the time to test it because you're not in a dilemma about, you know, needing to take action that the doctors are saying you need to save someone's life. So, you know, you have the time to try it.
You are 1,000% right, you know, but you have to look at my experience, you know. By the way, Ellen, we had always used natural things for things like colds and skin problems, always. You know, this was our modus, right? You know, and I totally 100% agree with you. But with our experience, you know, it was horrible when you were in a life-threatening situation. By the way, my husband's brain tumor, we are convinced. He grew up in Flint, Michigan.
Oh, my God.
Now.
You have to write a big essay about that. Wow.
What? You did?
No, I said you have
to. I do. You know what? I have been so active on Facebook about the water situation in Flint because Flint has been a city that poisoned people for years. You know, it was Automobile City. GM was there, General Motors. And that's what I think gave Tim his brain tumor. So now that we're having this water situation, I'm on it. I'm trying to do whatever I can, you know. And speaking of writing, I'm planning to write an op-ed about the water situation, and hopefully I can get some traction on it, you know, because it's terrible. But anyway, that's what we think caused his brain tumor. We both felt that. But you
wow.
are totally
so he
right.
Grew up, so he grew up in Flint, Michigan, which, of course, it's not like this water problem really just started. It had old pipes, even when your husband was a child. Now even they're, you know, much, much older. But also there was always all those toxic chemicals there because it had a lot of industry.
Yes.
So it's amazing that this is coming into the forefront right now, and I really have to honor Rachel Maddow. I think she really brought the information to the public. That was the first that I heard of it through in-depth investigating reporting like you do. And so that makes it even more interesting. That's a wonderful, not that it was wonderful that it happened to your husband, but an angle for you to use to get this great information out right now.
Yeah. Oh, and it gets better. My husband's parents were beauticians, so in addition to growing up in GM City, he grew up above a beauty shop. So I'm laughing, but it's not funny. He didn't have a chance, you know. So this is how I became. Yeah, I'm very much into, you know, what is going on in Flint. And by the way, Aaron Brockovich says, of course, that this is the tip of the iceberg. It's not only Flint. It's all around the country, you know, that we're having this toxic stuff going on. Well, you know that. We all know that.
Yeah, so, absolutely.
So I think I will start doing something about this. But anyway, you are right about that we should use natural things way earlier. But my particular emphasis is when things are life-threatening, because that's when people have to take charge and they're being taken down a road that in many cases what the doctors do work, and you know, I'm all for that. But in many cases, like with autoimmune diseases, they don't. You know, you've seen the ads on television with, you know, side effects being things like death, cancer, lymphomas. You know, if you've been to an area with tuberculosis, check with your doctor, you know. So that's my particular area, because we can only go by our own experience. And my experience was that when things get tough, it gets really tough to find something that is going to work. So that's my particular emphasis.
Well, that's wonderful. Now, you have so many in your book, which is Honest Medicine. And, you know, we're going to start our discussion, and then we're going to take a little break in about 5 minutes. I'm just giving you a warning about that.
Watch the clock.
Yeah, because we take a couple little breaks, about 5 minutes. But I do want to tell listeners about your book, Honest Medicine, Effective, Time-Tested, Inexpensive Treatments for Life-Threatening Diseases. And you have on the cover diseases such as multiple sclerosis, epilepsy, liver disease, lupus, rheumatoid arthritis. These are definitely disease claims. Now, the FDA is going after, not so much, hopefully not yet, books, but certainly companies who claim that any particular remedy can help any of these conditions.
Yes. And that is a very, I can't believe you're bringing this up, because just before the show, I was, you know, I've done a lot of public relations work, and one of my clients years ago was a group for, called NOAA, Nutrition for Optimal Health Association. So I did a lot of research on what's the difference between a supplement and a drug. And I had remembered that basically the main difference is that the FDA approves it as a drug. And if a supplement makes a claim saying it cures, it does anything, you know, what do you think the FDA does? It sends a letter to the company and says, you got to start doing clinical trials on this in order and have it called a drug. So the line is very thin. And the treatments that I feature in my book, In Honest Medicine, I mean, for instance, one of them, which we can talk about after the break, low-dose naltrexone, is actually, it works very well for many, many, many people with autoimmune diseases. And as you know, Ellen, they're on the rise. I mean, there are huge numbers of people with rheumatoid arthritis, Crohn's, multiple sclerosis, lupus. You know, there's over 100 of them. And the treatment that is in my book, In Honest Medicine, is, as I said, low-dose naltrexone. But we can talk about it after. It has a very interesting story. And here's the thing. It is an off-label drug, but it acts just like a supplement. And, you know, that line is pretty thin. And it definitely acts like a supplement. What kind of supplements do you know that raise endorphin levels, modulate the immune system, and make people feel better? All the side effects are good ones, you know?
Yeah, that's an interesting comment, because the side effects are just effects, right? You know,
yes.
And when they're called side effects, when they're effects that you don't want, but those sound
yes.
like effects that you do want.
Yes, because the side effects to low-dose naltrexone, except for one, and it's in a minority of people, and that is sleep disturbances, which usually go away after a long time. The other side effect is a sense of well-being. What does endorphin raising do? It makes you feel better, right? The runner's high. And a lot of people, don't laugh at this, are actually taking it instead of antidepressants. So I don't want to be out there saying that LDN is for, you know, depression. I'm just telling you that lots of people are taking it and finding that it has that quality. I don't want to get caught saying anything that I don't want to get caught saying, right?
Okay, well, what we'll do is we'll take a little break right now, and when we come back, we're going to talk about a lot of the things that people can find out about by getting your book, Honest Medicine, and also going to your website, honestmedicine.com. Very easy to remember. And we will be right back with more with author Julia Shopik, author of Honest Medicine. We'll be right back with more right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z.
On this edition of The Natural Medicine Chest, we'll discuss the ancient Chinese science and art of acupuncture.
Acupuncture is a 5,000-year-old medical procedure involving insertion and manipulation of needles into specific points on the body. It is often applied to relieve pain during surgery and for many other conditions.
Acupuncture needles have been found in China that are over 4,000 years old. The first needles were made of stone. Later, bronze, gold, or silver was used, and today they are usually made from steel. Acupuncture was developed around the theory of special meridian points on the body connected to the internal organs, and that vital energy, or qi, flows along these meridians. According to this theory, diseases are caused by interrupted energy flow, and the stimulation of these points restores normal energy circulation. There is some scientific evidence of the existence of the meridians as a separate circulatory system. Studies were done in the 1970s by a Dr. Kim from Korea, where he injected radioactive dyes into the traditional acupuncture points. He observed migration of the dyes along the exact predicted path of the meridians.
Okay. How acupuncture works remains uncertain, but both Western and Eastern scientific studies on rabbits have shown that the analgesic effects are not simply a matter of suggestion. After the discovery in 1975 of endorphins, natural pain inhibitors in the body, some neurophysiologists suggested that the needles may trigger the release of these substances. American and Chinese studies have confirmed that placing acupuncture needles in the brains of dogs raises the level of endorphins in the spinal fluid.
Acupuncture is used today in most hospitals in China and by many private practitioners in virtually every country in the world, including the United States. The primary use is for analgesia, although ulcers, hypertension, asthma, and other conditions have been documented to respond favorably to this treatment. Chinese surgeons prefer acupuncture to the use of drug-induced analgesia because they claim it does not disturb normal body physiology and therefore does not make the patient vulnerable to shock. Brain surgery is especially amenable to this form of analgesia when it is necessary to keep the patient awake during the operation.
Although some modifications in the practice of acupuncture have been made, such as sometimes using a small electric current on the needle instead of the traditional twirling, acupuncture remains intact as an ancient therapeutic technique that has been used successfully for at least 5,000 years. Perhaps you'd like to add this piece of knowledge to your natural medicine chest.
Welcome back to more right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z right here on Progressive Radio Network. That's PRN.FM. And you can listen to this show if there's something you like, you want to listen to it again, you want to contact our guest, or if you want to listen to any other shows here on Progressive Radio Network, PRN.FM 24/7. And we love when you join us in real time, and that's The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z every Tuesday at 10 to 11 a.m. And today our guest is Julia Shopik. Julia is an award-winning writer. She has a blog, honestmedicine.com. Also, you can find her website there. And today we are talking about her book, Honest Medicine. Boy, you must know about branding, Julia, because that's the place to find you.
Ellen, you bring up another good point. I'm always telling you, you bring up good points. Are you ready for this? I'm going to give a shout-out to one of my friends at this point. After I wrote the book, I'm thinking, what is the title? And I'm so thick, right? And I'm thinking, I forget. I had like 20 of them, and I'm running them by friends, you know. And my friend Mary Showman, who's also a great author that you might like to have on about that, she writes about thyroid issues, she said, "Dummy, your title is Honest Medicine, for God's sakes." it's been that is my handle. But truthfully, even though I've been a PR consultant for many years, I didn't think of that handle, for my book. But I did think of it for my website, as Dr. Ron Hoffman asked me on the first show I was on, he was the first show I was on WOR in New York, he said, "Is that an oxymoron?"
Very interesting. Now, let's go into some of the, you know, really specific interventions that you've uncovered that have such a good history of efficacy, even though for some reason they're not necessarily in favor right now. So you talked about the silver applicant, which is a topical.
Right. It's material. It's pieces of material impregnated with silver ions. So it's not like Silvadine or any other silver product, but it's very effective.
So that's one of them. Mm-hmm.
And I talk about intravenous alpha-lipoic acid.
Well,
and
let's go there. Let's go to that, because that might be very, very new to a lot of people. Intravenous alpha-lipoic acid. Let's talk about alpha-lipoic acid first, and why would someone want it intravenously rather than taking it as a oral supplement?
Well, I'm going to turn to you to describe. It is an antioxidant.
Yes.
But I am going to turn to you to explain the science of it, because you know, you are both an RN and a PhD. But I can tell you the story of how it was developed. It was actually developed for use as an intravenous use for liver disease by one of the heroes of my book, Dr. Bert Berkson. And the story is, you're going to start recognizing a theme in all of my stories, because this one is a Dr. Bert Berkson, who, when he was an intern, this was in the 1970s, he was working at a very prestigious institution, which you'll see why he doesn't name it in my book, or want me to name it publicly. There were some patients brought in with end-stage liver disease. It was from mushroom poisoning. And the doctors his superiors told Dr. Berkson that what he was supposed to do was to monitor these patients as they died, because there was no liver for transplanting, and they were not going to get a liver. They were and they were going to die, and it was Dr. Berkson's job to watch them die, to take notes, and to present those notes at grand rounds, after they died. And Dr. Berkson said to me, and he says in my book, In Honest Medicine, I couldn't do that. You know, he didn't tell his superiors that, but he said, I had to find something that could help them, if at all possible. So he called somebody he knew at the NIH, the National Institutes of Health, Dr. Fred Barter, and he said, is there anything that can help to regenerate livers? And Dr. Fred Barter surprisingly said, yes, we're doing research now on a substance called alpha-lipoic acid, but it's intravenously. It's delivered intravenously. And we're studying it for diabetic neuropathy. That's the lack of feeling in the extremities, you know, that people get with diabetes. He said, but the interesting side effect, here we go with side effects that are good, is that it regenerates livers in those people who have both diabetes and problems with their liver. Would you like to try it? And Dr. Berkson says, you bet I would. So Dr. Barter sent it to him by plane, and he picked it up at the airport, infused it into his patients, and lo and behold, they started to recover. Their livers started to regenerate. Now, do you think, I'm asking the question, do you think that his superiors were happy with this, turn of events that Dr. Berkson was so excited about? And, of course, the answer is no.
Isn't that sad? There's so much research on alpha-lipoic acid and its effects specifically in diabetes. And these are in some mainstream journals, though. You know, it's interesting studied.
By the way, I have just written an article that's going to be published soon about how to tell the wheat from the chaff. And one of them is, you know, that even if something hasn't gone through the phase 3, you know, clinical trials with multi numbers of people and hundreds of thousands of dollars, even millions and billions of dollars, there have often been small studies, sometimes in Europe, you know, sometimes in other countries, but small studies, sometimes at very prestigious institutions. And all of the treatments that I feature in my book, In Honest Medicine, have gone through some kinds of studies, just like a lot of the supplements that you talk about have. But in any case, no. I did a little bit of a detour there. His superiors were furious, and they said, you did something we told you not to do. And he said, but the patients are doing great. aren't you interested? They said, no, not only are we not interested, but we're going to tell you never, ever do that again. And Dr. Berkson was stunned. The next weekend, people came in with the same condition because, as he said, poisonous mushrooms were in season. And same thing again. He infused the intravenous alpha-lipoic acid in again, and again they got better. And Dr. Berkson said to me, and he says in my book, In Honest Medicine, my goose would have been cooked, except for one thing. Dr. Fred Barter and the NIH were fascinated by the work I was doing. And so Dr. Barter came to the institution there, and they did some studies. They did a study of 79 patients with end-stage liver disease, and they infused them with alpha-lipoic acid. 75 of them recovered. That
well,
is an amazing...
Well, it's interesting because alpha-lipoic acid, it has some unique properties. First of all, it does naturally occur in our body, but when you're in a state of toxicity, such as liver poisoning, you know, your body's going to use it up. And it's so interesting because it has the dual action of the fact that it can be dissolved in water, like water-soluble vitamins such as C or Bs, but it also can be absorbed into fatty tissues, you know, like other fat-soluble vitamins like vitamin E and K. So it's a very broad-spectrum antioxidant. But you talk about using it intravenously now. How would somebody do that? They'd have to have a doctor who would do that, right?
Yeah, this is the thing that I find, you know, I often don't start with talking about intravenous alpha-lipoic acid because Dr. Bert Berkson is the only one that I recommend people go to, not because others don't do it, but because since it is intravenous, if it's done incorrectly, there can be some bad side effects. For instance, some patients did not want to go back to Las Cruces, New Mexico, where Dr. Berkson practices, and they found other doctors, and there have been bad side effects. So that is the negative. Other places do it, though. There are doctors. I know that Julian Whitaker's clinic in California, I know that he does it. And again, I haven't spoken with Dr. Whitaker, although he did give me a lovely quote that I use as the cover quote of my book, of Honest Medicine. But lots of doctors do it, but I only can vouch for Dr. Bert Berkson because I have just talked to so many people who've had so many wonderful results. And by the way, with your listeners, when they buy the book, if they buy the book, they'll see that it has worked for one woman. Mary Jo Bean had both cirrhosis and hepatitis C, and she was literally, I don't want to use the word cured, but she was made much, much better by intravenous alpha-lipoic acid. And the other success story is a man with pancreatic cancer. It can also be used for some cancers. And he survived 9 years with the intravenous alpha-lipoic acid. So it's a wonderful, wonderful treatment. My dream, my hope, is that Dr. Berkson will start, you know, now that he's coming to semi-retirement age, that he will start training in a very serious way other doctors to do this. And I'm not talking about just giving the protocol, but, you know, doing real trainings where he observes them and certifies them. That's my hope.
Yeah, and see, that is a problem because so many doctors that I know who were the originators in the holistic movement now, like myself too, getting a lot older. And some of them are just closing practices or passing away. And, you know, certainly hoping that there's a bunch of young doctors to take up the mantle. And I would say a very good place to search for one is at the Institute for Functional Medicine. It's at functionalmedicine.org.
That's Jeffrey Bland's organization, right?
Well, he's not part of that now, but he certainly was the person who originated it.
Right, right.
And with ACAM as well. These are organizations where you can find trained doctors, and they have to be MDs to even belong, and they are very, very well trained, so you can put in your zip code and see if you can find someone, and then you can call and ask, do you use intravenous alpha-lipoic acid? And even if they don't, they probably have other interesting natural remedies that they use.
And I recommend them all the time. You're absolutely right. But that's one of the treatments I write about. Should we discuss, do you want to discuss some of the others?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. I like to go now to the low-dose naltrexone, and I'll try to, I don't want to miss the ketogenic diet, so I'll try to move along with it. But the low-dose naltrexone, again, a very interesting way it was discovered, and that is that in 1984, in the mid-1980s, naltrexone, not low-dose naltrexone, was FDA-approved for heroin addiction. It was approved at 50, that's 50 milligrams. And a very fascinating, curious doctor. I know the doctors that I talked about with my husband, Tim, were not very curious, right? But this doctor was curious, and he was working with drug addicts. He was a double board certified neurologist, psychiatrist, and he was working in the city of New York, and I say, I'm talking about in the government, working with heroin addicts. And he said, oh, let me try this, you know, a drug that will stop the craving for heroin. So he started to prescribe it at 50 milligrams, 5-0, and he said, you know, yeah, it sure did block the craving for opiates, for heroin, but it did something else. It made them crazy. It was too high a dose. So he noticed, though, that it had some interesting properties. One of them was raising endorphin levels. And he said, let's see if I can keep that good quality and lower the dose. And he did. And he started lowering it and lowering it and lowering it till he finally got to 3 milligrams. And he found that, yes, it still raised endorphin levels. And by the way, at that time, there was a disease not yet named. It was called the gay person's disease or something like that. It became known as HIV/AIDS. And a lot of his patients had, his drug-addicted patients had HIV/AIDS. And he found that condition stopped progressing in many of them. And so he said, we've got something here. We've got something with very few side effects, if any. Some good side effects, as I was mentioning, you know, like an increased feeling of well-being. And he said, let's see if it works on other conditions. At that time, his daughter had a friend named Chris Lombardi, and she came to Dr. Bahari, and she had MS, multiple sclerosis. And she was wondering if this drug, there were no MS drugs on the market at that point. And she wondered if her friend's dad's new drug, low-dose drug, which now by the name had the name of low-dose naltrexone, might work on her MS. And indeed, it stopped the progression of her MS. And then, this was before the age of the Internet. Lots of people started hearing about Dr. Bahari, people with lupus, people with rheumatoid arthritis, people with Crohn's disease. And they started coming to New York and getting LDN, low-dose naltrexone, and indeed their symptoms were either stopped in their tracks or in some cases there was actually a reversal of the disease. And, you know, it didn't work. This is not snake oil. It did not work in every single case, but it really worked on thousands of people. And then there were some universities that started being interested, and they did testing, and they found the same thing that Dr. Bahari found, that it was working. Stanford did a study on fibromyalgia, and anyone can find it. If you write to me at juliethonestmedicine.com, I can send you the studies. It found that it helped with the pain of fibromyalgia. Penn State did studies on LDN for Crohn's disease. Again, the same thing. And the University of California at San Francisco did studies on MS, multiple sclerosis. And that one, by the way, was funded by MS patients. And they just collected the money to pay the University of California, Bruce Cree, to do the study. Again, it came out positively. So this is now, I like to call it a cause celebre. And I know you're on Facebook, Ellen. There are loads of Facebook pages that I'm very active with that are devoted to low-dose naltrexone, some of them in general. There's one called Got Endorphins, LDN. There are others that are talking about LDN for fibromyalgia and chronic fatigue syndrome, LDN for Crohn's and IBS, LDN, you know, on and on. There are probably about six or seven LDN. Oh, and this is great. My book is starting to be published in around the world, right? So I've joined the LDN groups in Norway, you know, in the Netherlands, because my book is being published in the Netherlands this coming year, France, Italy, Germany, and I use Google Translator to communicate with them. So there are just so many. LDN is like going worldwide. It's amazing. So as I told you before, it acts more like a supplement than a drug. And, you know, unfortunately, you need a doctor's prescription to get it. So I'm doing coaching now where I teach people how to convince your doctor to prescribe a drug he or she doesn't know about, a treatment that unfortunately needs a prescription. So I'm active with doing that. I actually have an article that I wrote that I'm happy to share with anybody who writes to me, you know, about how to convince your doctor, because this is the hard part. If it's a supplement,
so, you know what,
you don't need a prescription. I'm sorry, go on.
Yeah, Julie, it sounds like with all these new drugs coming on, and we'll take a little break and then you can answer this, because it sounds like things that they're prescribing Humira and the biologics for.
Oy.
And those have such a giant adverse event profile. So
we'll
talk about
word.
That
Oy.
When we come back. We're going to take a little break right now so that Progressive Radio Network can tell our listeners about all of the wonderful shows that they can listen to right here on PRN.FM.
This is Karen Hartglass, host of It's All About Food, and you're listening to PRN, your source for progressive, up-to-date, and inspirational information on nutrition and health.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Knoll. Normally, you would hear the Progressive Commentary Hour Monday evenings, 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. However, as of today, we're going to be having it every Tuesday, 7 to 8 p.m. So just change your calendar, please. Change your schedule. Tuesday, 7 to 8 for the Progressive Commentary Hour.
This is Guy McPherson. Join me and Mike Sliva with Nature Bats Last Radio on PRN.FM. Catch us Tuesday evening at 8 p.m. on the East Coast. You can rate the show on iTunes, and if you don't catch us live, you can catch us 24/7 in the PRN archives. That's 8 p.m. Eastern Time with Nature Bats Last on PRN.FM.
Stay tuned to PRN.FM for more empowering ideas from progressive voices.
Much for joining us. Once again, you are here with the Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. We want your feedback. You can go to naturalnurse.com and hit contact and send us an email, or Facebook The Natural Nurse. We love your comments. Of course, we love your likes. And we also love your dislikes. Like if there's something that you hear that you know, you take issue with, or you'd like to know more about, or you wish we spoke about something else, we want to hear about that as well. Constructive criticism is welcome, as well as likes and other kinds of emails. So thank you so much for joining us. We're talking today with author Julia Shopik, and she's talking about her book and her blog and her website, all called Honest Medicine. Very easy to find Honest Medicine. More than 100,000 people worldwide have been helped. Effective, time-tested, inexpensive treatments for life-threatening diseases, including multiple sclerosis, epilepsy, liver disease, lupus, rheumatoid arthritis, and other diseases. That's right on the front of the book. And she is an award-winning blogger on healthcare and healing. So thank you so much for being our guest today, Dr. Julia.
Oh, no.
Author Julia.
Thank you, Ellen, but you are.
Yeah. You were going deeply into low dose drug that this person. Yes. Now, can they actually get this still, like, with a regular conventional doctor?
Yes.
Order
that. Beauty. You know, the rule of off-label. This is an off-label use, obviously. Off-label and low dose use of naltrexone. That, as we said, was developed for another use entirely. But as you know, and I hope as a lot of your listeners know, most of your listeners know, any drug may be prescribed off-label by any doctor. The caveat is, though, that it may not be marketed by the drug company for off-label uses. So, since the beauty of this is, though, that it's really not made, low-dose naltrexone is really made by compounding pharmacies. In other words, they take the high dose of naltrexone and they put it into low-dose preparations. And you have to watch it, because if you go on lowdosenaltrexone.org, you can find a list of the compounding pharmacies that are known to compound it, you know, reputably and well. But the trick is, and I hate the word trick, I shouldn't have used, but the challenge, should we use that, is to convince your doctor. And I really have started a program of coaching people, because you know what? There's so much backing to that doctors just don't know about. And, you know, I'll get so many calls, Ellen, from people that say, well, I told my doctor about your book, or even more, they'll say, I told him I found this treatment on the internet, and I'm like, oh, I wish you hadn't said that. I wish you had called me first, you know, because doctors don't like hearing that you found a treatment on the internet. But I have put together materials and a method of approaching your doctor so that at least he or she will probably read the materials, and if he or she does not feel comfortable, at least we'll keep following you and be interested in it. But you've got to present your case well. Now, that being said, there are a lot of doctors nationwide who are prescribing it, which is wonderful. But, you know, a lot of times they may not be open to prescribing it for your particular illness. You know, a doctor may be a neurologist and prescribe it for multiple sclerosis, which is the one that it was, you know, most often prescribed for in the beginning, but may not be open to prescribing it for Parkinson's or Crohn's, you know. So I like to teach people how to convince your doctor, how to have a good chance.
Well, all these things you're talking about are autoimmune illnesses.
Yes.
And in the past, there was there were less specific pharmaceuticals that were available that were being used, and certainly that are being hugely promoted. I mean, everyone sees it on TV now every day in terms of Humira and the other biologics.
They're horrible.
So, yeah, and that's being, you know, that is really now the go-to. Of course, the old days, what it was like methotrexate, which is probably, but that was the go-to
chemo
for autoimmune disease and chemo, correct. So perhaps Humira has a less adverse effect side effects than those. But that's where your doctor is going to be going. How could you now? What if you take this with it? Do you know about the drug interactions if someone's already on Humira?
That's a very, very interesting question. And the to be desired is that you know if you can convince your doctor. Say you're on Humira and you hear me on the air and you come to me and you say, Julia, you know, help me, you know, to convince my doctor, and I do. At that point, there should be a going down slowly of your other drug. And, you know, I am not an expert on drugs, but, you know, there could be some of them that you can stop right away and some that you cannot. But I urge people to be, you know, be very careful with that. But one thing I should say about low-dose naltrexone, and I often forget to, so I'm glad I remembered today, is it cannot be taken with opiates. And that is, you know, like oxycodone, all the oxy drugs and all of that cannot be taken. And so you have to be very careful and you have to know what you're doing. But when it works for people, I know one person, and there are several others, but I know her intimately, who is taking it for Parkinson's disease. And really, people can't tell that she has Parkinson's. And we didn't mention inexpensive. I sound like, you know, I get not a dime about for low-dose naltrexone, you know, but it is very, very inexpensive, and something like a dollar a day or less.
Wow.
So
no wonder the drug companies don't want you to use that.
Not only do they not want you to use it, but you know what? A lot of the LDN advocates, low-dose naltrexone advocates, want it to be FDA approved, you know, by the big expensive clinical trials. And my fear is that if it is, it would have to go, you know, condition by condition, right? First for MS, then for this, then for that. They would raise the price immensely. And that is a big fear, because they want to get their money back from having done those trials.
Yeah, that's exactly why they say they're able to have these outrageous prices for drugs. But this one was tested years ago. What was it tested for originally?
This is very interesting, Ellen. It was tested in 1984 at a high dose, let's say 50 milligrams. And by the way, doctors were giving it at 50 and still are, 50, 100, 200 milligrams, you know, for opiate addiction, for heroin addiction. And in 1994, it was tested again by the FDA for alcohol addiction, for alcoholism. So it has that background, and it's Dr. Bernard Bahari, who unfortunately died around 5 years ago, who discovered this. You know, he is considered a real hero in the LDN community. What a man. But he discovered, by just being patient and curious — most doctors are not curious, isn't that a shame — but he found that it works this way, and he's been a life changer.
So he's the one who discovered. Now, it's interesting because, you know, that's how homeopathy really is used as well. But this is not so low dose that it's not measurable.
No,
it's
but
just
isn't
a
that
low
wonderful?
Physical dose.
I always tell people it's like homeopathy, but not really, you know.
Right, in that in homeopathics, that's what they discovered, that the lower dose they went to until there was actually no molecular substance left,
right.
That's when it had really positive effects and no adverse effects.
Right.
So in terms of that developing, it's possible that physician — unfortunately, he's no longer here for us to ask him on this plane anyway — but he might have known about homeopathy and got
inspired.
Well,
I'm sure he did. He was very into alternative holistic medicine. I'm sure he did.
Well, believe it or not, we're down to coming to the end of our show today. You were a wonderful guest, Julia. Please just, you know, take a couple minutes to tell our listeners the best way to find you and, you know, any other gems of wisdom you'd like to share.
Okay, I'm going to talk fast, okay? My handle, as you pointed out, is Honest Medicine. You may write to me at Julia at Honest Medicine. Please, if you do write to me as a result of hearing me on the show, put Ellen Kamai in the subject line, okay? So that's one thing. I'm on my website, honestmedicine.com. I'm on Facebook. My book's fan page is Julia Shopik Presents Honest Medicine, so I'm on as both Julia Shopik and Julia Shopik Presents Honest Medicine. And basically, it's very easy to find me. I'm out there. And I'd like to also say that one other treatment: if your child has epilepsy, or if you do, please, you know, get Honest Medicine, because the ketogenic diet — doctors will try to give you drugs. They will give you drugs. The little boy who's featured in it, Charlie Abrams, was on 4 to 5 drugs at the age of 1 year old before his father found it, before Jim Abrams found it. And I think, as a parting thing, I would like to say, if what your doctor does works for you, fine.
We have to end, Julia. So with that, thank you so much for joining us. This is Ellen Kamai, the Natural Nurse at naturalnurse.com. And until next time, I remain wishing you the best. Stay healthy.